Today we are continuing in the series of sermons, messages, on developing as a disciple. We've looked at the disciples' pardon, we've looked at the disciples' purpose, and today we're going to look at the disciples' perception. Whenever we're talking about perception, perception deals with our knowledge base. Because of our knowledge base forms our perception of how we view the world, how we view our friends, how we view our family, how we view our job, how we view everything. It's determined by our perception, and our perception is built and based upon our knowledge. The problem that we see throughout the church is that many times Christians, and I'm not talking about non-believers, many times Christians that are born again, they've accepted Christ as their Savior, they've been baptized, they attend church, they do various things throughout the church, but many times our knowledge base is very shallow. And because our knowledge base is shallow, our perception is skewed in relation to our Lord Jesus Christ and how great God is and the purpose of the church and how we serve Him. And everything that God is desiring in our lives is formed by our perceptions that are based upon our knowledge. Knowledge comes from the Greek word sophia, which is having, knowing the truth or having wisdom, being able to apply the truth into our lives. That's sophia. There's another Greek word, which is gnosis, which means an intimate personal relationship with. Now, we know who our president is, whether you like him or not, doesn't matter. But we really don't intimately know him. We don't know what size shoe he wears, what size coat he wears, what he likes to eat for breakfast, what time he goes to bed at night, what time he gets up, what his routine is. We truly don't know him because we don't have an intimate personal relationship with him. And see, our knowledge of him is very shallow, so therefore our perception of him is what we can read in the news, and some of it's true and some of it's not. And see, that's how we develop our knowledge many times of God, by the things we hear, the things we see, the things we experience. Many times it's very shallow, and so our perception is shallow. And Peter was trying to help the church so that they could be the body that God wants them to be in the process of building the kingdom that God is developing, that God is building. And so Peter is trying to improve their knowledge, which will indeed shape and improve their perception so that they can truly develop, get this, as disciples. Turn with me this morning to our main text. Oops, I forgot my glasses. Oh, man, if I could just travel through the portal. It will be as though I have never left, because you can still hear me, and now I can come back with my glasses. I did not do that on purpose. That was of God. No. So turn with me, please, to 2 Peter. As soon as I said that and I was looking at my Bible, it was like, oh, Lord, there's no way I can read that scripture without my glasses. 2 Peter chapter 1, We're going to begin in verse 1. Please stand with me now in honor of the reading of God's word. It's always fun to have fun. Amen. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. So he's not writing to non-believers. He's writing to all those that have obtained a like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you that we can come and celebrate. That we can celebrate what you have done in our lives, that what you have done in this world, and the kingdom that you are preparing for each and every one of us that believe upon the name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you that we can come and worship you today. And we pray, Father, that our knowledge might be expanded so that our perception might be true of who you are. Father, I pray that you would place the words in my mouth that you want me to speak today, that every heart will be touched. And Father, ultimately, you will be glorified. And we thank you now and praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. The word knowledge is used four times in our text today. Four different times. Peter evidently thought that knowledge was very important. I was speaking to a person today, and he says that our smartphones have made us dumber. Amen? Now, many of you have called Kathy on the phone. What's her phone number? No, that's not it. That's on the advertisement. See, there, I would ask you the same thing of mine, but mine's on the front of your bulletin. So that wouldn't be fair. But as this individual said, that we have gotten actually stupider, dumber, because we have a smartphone. We used to have to look things up in an encyclopedia. Now we just ask Siri, Larry, whatever her name is. We ask her or we Google it, and immediately we have the results in front of us. How tall is Dana Perino? 5'3". You know? Instead of having to look it up, we have gotten stupider because of our smartphones. It does everything for us. You can get coupons. And when you go out to eat, you just show them the coupon. And they go, oh, okay, now you get 10% off. Instead of looking through the newspaper for coupons and clipping them out and carrying them all with you. Peter thought it was important that we would have knowledge. How many have ever heard and maybe even believed that good things happen to good people? Okay. Well, if that is true, then bad things happen to bad people, right? That would be the perception. So if bad things happen to bad people, then I must be bad because I've had some bad things happen to me. See how skewed that perception can get? Some people, when they do something by accident or if they sin willfully, they believe that they disappoint God. How many believe you can disappoint God? Well, it's improper. Is God not omniscient? See, disappointment comes from a failed expectation. When you expect something of me, and I do not fulfill it as you expected, you have a disappointment because of that failed expectation. God is omniscient. He knows my triumph tomorrow. He knows my failure tomorrow. So if he already knows that, he has no expectation to fail. So therefore, we cannot disappoint him. Now, can we grieve him? Absolutely. But grieving him and disappointing him are two totally different things. See, knowledge is very, very important. So important that Peter spoke of it four different times in our text. So it's important, first of all, that we have a knowledge of the salvation that comes through our Lord. Look with me, please, at verse 2. He says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." So if we're to have knowledge about our salvation, we should have knowledge about salvation's price. Look with me in 1 Peter. Just go back a couple pages or look on the screen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with the corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The cross was the price of our salvation. My salvation cost God everything he had. He gave me his son and allowed his son to die instead of me. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Amen? The Bible also says the soul that sins must surely die. So the price of salvation was the cross at Calvary, where he would suffer and bleed and die and take my punishment upon himself so that I can be freed from that penalty of sin. That was the price of salvation. But salvation also has a production. Look at verse 20 of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Salvation has a product. It produces something. First of all, It was according to the foreknowledge of God, it was predestined that Christ would die on the cross for us. It was planned that way. God did not create this earth and create us and then all of a sudden go, "I should have had a V8. No. He didn't say, "Oops, I made a mistake." No. It was his plan all along. And he planned it out, he organized it, and then he executed it. It was foreordained. It was not an afterthought. God says, "I'm going to create this world, And my greatest creation is going to come on day six when he created mankind. But I'm going to create mankind with choice so that they can choose me. I don't want robots. That doesn't give me any glory. I want to be so great and so glorious that they choose a relationship with me. It was foreordained. But notice also that it produced a manifestation. A manifestation was provided at just the right time. Years would go by. God would teach his people, Israel, the meanings of sacrifice, that they would have to sacrifice in order to be in a relationship with him, that it was going to cost them something because it was going to eventually cost him everything. It was manifested at just the right time. 4,000 years would go by, and then Christ would come as a lamb being led to the slaughter, to be born for the purpose of dying for us. It was manifested at just the right time. But not only does salvation was foreordained and manifested, but his greatest accomplishment came when he raised him up. When the tomb was empty. Oh, we celebrate the empty tomb every year, amen? On Easter. I think we ought to celebrate the empty tomb every Sunday. But more than that, I don't think we ought to celebrate just on Easter and on Sundays. I think we ought to celebrate the empty tomb every day. Why? Because it should make a difference in our lives. That empty tomb is there to provide a way for us. As his tomb is empty, ours will be as well. Salvation produces something. But not only that, we see we should have a knowledge about salvation's purity. Look with me at verse 22 of that same text. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Fervently. Purity and holiness and godliness seems to be beyond our reach. And it is. It totally is. When we try to do it in our own strength. But when we are allowing the Spirit of God that indwells each and every one of us to guide us and to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives so that we now are like little Christs walking around, then we can be pure, then we can be holy, then we can be godly because of what He is producing in our lives. That's salvation's purity. And see, if we don't realize that, if we don't know that that purity is available through yielding and surrendering to the Holy Spirit that lives within us, then we live our lives beneath our privileges. We are the children of the King. Why should we not live as the children of the King? But instead, because of our lack of knowledge, we live beneath our privileges. Peter says we should have the knowledge about the salvation that comes from our Lord. And secondly, we should have knowledge about the strength from our Lord. Look with me at our main text at verse 3. The strength. According as his divine power has given unto us a few things. One or two things. No. according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You mean he's given me all things that pertain to life and godliness? Yeah, that's what the scripture says, but notice this. Which comes through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Peter wants us to understand that we should have a knowledge of the strength that we have through our Lord, in our Lord, in what he has done in our lives. And that strength, first of all, comes through the power of the blood to cleanse. Power of the blood to cleanse. Look with me in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. He says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Power of the blood. The power of the blood is so powerful that there is no sin it cannot cleanse. There is no sin so evil that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse it. There is no sin so dark that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse it. There is no sin so hideous that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse it. The blood of Jesus can cleanse all sin. Many times, we feel guilty when we sin. Amen? We feel that guilt. We have grieved the Spirit. We have quenched the Spirit. We feel that distance between us and God. But God didn't move. We're the ones that moved. Because with that sin comes forgiveness, if we ask for it. He forgives us, he redeems us, he restores us. He doesn't restore us back to the way we were. No, he doesn't want us the way we were. He wants us the way he created us to be. And that's what he restores us to. Back to OEM standards. The blood of Jesus is so cleansing that when you fall on your knees and ask him to forgive you of that, I'm talking about years after your salvation, there is a burden, there is a guilt lifted from you so that you are fresh once again. Not only does the strength of our Lord come through the power of the blood to cleanse, but the power of the word to enrich. Look with me in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Get over there. Colossians 3, 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. God's word is alive and powerful, amen? God's word is so alive and powerful that you can read it, and days later, weeks later, months later, years later, he can quicken that scripture back to you, and now that scripture that you read past for years now has new meaning, now has new understanding, and now it, because it has meaning and understanding, it changes your life. I was raised in church. 14 years, perfect attendance. I have the pins. I brought them here a couple times to show you. I have all the pins to show you every year. Perfect attendance. Lost as a duck. Went to college, got married, had three kids. I was doing everything that I needed to do. I knew good from wrong, right from wrong, good from bad. Was doing everything and everything in my control. And have you ever seen the guy that has the long stick and he puts a plate on top and he spins it? And then that plate spins for a while and he lets go and he puts another one up and spins it. And he puts another one up and spins it. And then he goes back and he speeds this one up again and speeds this one up. Puts a fourth one up and then pretty soon moves back. And he just keeps doing that. I had 21 of them going at one time. Different things in my life. And every now and then, a plate would come crashing down and break, and it was like, oh, catastrophe. I'd read the Bible. My wife was going to church with the kids, and then she came home, and you've all heard the story. She had mascara run, and then I had to go to church just to make sure she didn't embarrass me any longer. That's the truth. And after hearing a message, I kept those plates going as many as I could. It was wearing me out. And God quickened a scripture to me that was my salvation scripture. Many people will say John 3:16 is there salvation scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. That wasn't mine. Exodus 14:14 was mine. Because I was a fighter, a brawler. I did everything. I kept the plates spinning. I was working my hiney off. See, it's still small. I was working my hiney off, keeping all the plates going. And God said, you don't need to do that all the time, Craig. Exodus 14:14. What is it, God? The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. I don't have to do all this? No. The Lord will do all this for you. Okay. Fine. God started taking care of all those things. Every now and then a plate would drop and I'd go, ah. And he'd go, didn't need it. Another, didn't need it. And so I would periodically jump back in, keep some of them going. See, I'll help you there, Lord. How many of you help the Lord? Yeah, come on, if you're not raising your hand, you're lying. I'll expect you all up here at invitation time asking for forgiveness. Until I kept on more and more and more and more and more and more and more until I was doing it all over again. And he'd tell me, I'll do it for you. Yeah, I know, but you let a few drop from now and then. I'll keep them plates spinning. I can do it. You've empowered me through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm doing it. Until I started feeling the call to preach. The surrender. What? No, I got a good job. I don't want to do that. You can't make any money doing that. After all, I have to provide for my family. A man that won't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. It says so in your book. Until I read Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to help you and not hinder you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You have a plan for me? Yep, want you to preach. Nope, not going to do it. And I kept on resisting and resisting until I couldn't resist any longer. See, there's power in the Word to enrich. He will keep on bringing that Scripture back to you. But let me tell you something. He can't bring a Scripture back to you that you have not read. We need to have the knowledge of the strength of our Lord through the power of the blood, the power of the Word, and thirdly, through the power of His grace to sustain. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You're going to have to listen faster. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought him thrice, meaning three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, or because of this, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When we fail, when we falter, when we stumble, when we make mistakes, God is there to help us out. God is there to forgive us. God is there to build us up. And see, that's what it's all about, is trusting Him and recognizing that the strength that we have comes from Him through the blood, through the Word, and through His grace. Thirdly, we need to see the knowledge about the service for our Lord. Look at our main text at verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. If we're going to truly be able to serve Him and have a knowledge of what it takes to serve Him, we have to recognize, first of all, the diversities of gifts. Look with me in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but the Holy Ghost. So in other words, pause. What he's saying is, you can't even say Jesus is Lord unless the Spirit of God prompts you to say that. Then he goes on and says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, to profit everyone. The Spirit of God is given so that it profits everyone. God has uniquely gifted every believer. There are spiritual gifts, administration, mercy, service, prophecy, teaching, giving, exhortation. All of those gifts are given to God's people, and they are active in the church. They're active in this church. And that's the problem. God has gifted every believer. And so therefore, every believer has an opinion. And every believer voices that opinion. But let me tell you, God has not called us to be decision makers. God has called us to be disciple makers. You want me to say that again? Or did that sink in? Yeah, okay. See, God has blessed us, and He's put us together. He calls us lively stones. We are so unique. We have a personality. We have talents. We have spiritual gifts. He has placed these assets into our lives. He has an investment in our lives. And because of that, we fit in His body in a very unique way. Look at the giftedness of building all of this. Didn't happen overnight. She didn't just come in here and start putting stuff up on the walls. It took planning. I got a plan on what I'm going to do to this wall, what I'm going to do to that wall, how the stage is going to look, the barrels. Did you know that there was toxic waste coming out of this one, Chrissy? There is. There's toxic waste coming out of that one. Look at that. Dangerous. Look at that. Ew, bad stuff. I didn't know we had that out in the garage. Good thing you didn't open that lid up all the way. Yeah. Diversities of gifts. That's how we serve the Lord. But more than that, we need to see the devices of Satan. Satan is a cunning dog. He is so cunning and so crafty. He will pass 99 truths past you and so that he can slip a lie in. He is so good, you can work for him and he'll make you think you're doing something for God. Come on now, be honest. It's happened to all of us. I've even had people say, well, it's God's will. And I'll say, how can it be against God's will when it goes against his word? Oh. Knowledge base was a little shallow there, huh? See, that's what Peter is trying to help us with. We need to see the devices of Satan, but we also need to see the deliverance of God. That everything God does is perfect. His timing is perfect. His way is perfect. His method is perfect. We're praying and we say, God, we need to have you do this. And then there seems to be a distance. There seems to be a time lag. And we think, God, you're late. No, he's not. His timing is perfect. His way is perfect. His method is perfect. We're going through this difficult time in our lives, Lord. Please take it away. No, he's not going to do that. He's not going to take it away. He's going to enable you to go through that bad time, building you up, strengthening you, so that you can go through that and that you can come to know that he is a God that does those things in our lives. We need to see also, lastly, the success that we have in our Lord. We need to have a knowledge about that. Look at our main text once again in verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful, notice this, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge of that success because of the sacrificial commitment. Commitment that we have to our Lord. The commitment that we have that we're going to serve him regardless. We're going to serve him regardless of what someone says. We're going to serve him regardless of the opposition we experience. We're going to serve him. We're going to go to church even if it rains. Even if it's too hot. Hey, do you know a couple years ago we went out and canvassed the whole area and given out invitations for VBS and it was pouring down rain. That was fun, amen? That was a lot better than this year. We all came back sweaty. We needed a bath. God gave us a bath a couple years ago. We didn't even ask him for it. Because of the sacrificial commitment. Commitment to our Lord. Commitment to our families. Commitment to each other. You know, I have people that are close to me. And sometimes they'll say things, or I'll say things to them. And we just do it to kind of gig the other guy a little bit, you know. And I'll tell Kathy, well, that way they know I love them. But I'd never let anything break that down. I'd never let anything come between that kind of a friendship. That's the kind of bond that we should all have, that bond in the Lord. And then we should have strong convictions. Convictions about the Scriptures, that His Scripture is true, that it's complete, not lacking anything, and it doesn't have any controversy in it. It doesn't have something here that goes against something here. Normally, when you see two Scriptures that appear to collide, when you find the truth, you'll find that they support one another. They support. One of the things that we need to realize that God is wanting to develop us as disciples. And to do that, we all need to have our knowledge increased so that our knowledge base is large, so our perception can be true. Because when that happens, then we know we are being developed as a disciple. There are things that you can count on when things are going rough, when things are going south, when things are going bad. There are two things. The first thing is this: man will always let you down. The second thing is this: God always picks you up. As our knowledge base grows and our perception straightens out, we will know that we are developing as disciples. And that's what Peter was trying to achieve. So that each and every person in the body is developed as a disciple. As our worship team comes, let's pray. Father God, you are so good and so great. We thank you, Father, that you want us to know about our salvation, to know about the strength that you give us, the service, as well as the success. And Father, that can truly undergird our knowledge and straighten out our perceptions so that we can develop as disciples. So, Father God, through this invitation, we pray that you are glorified. Let us come to you. Let us pray that our knowledge might be increased, as Peter said. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's all stand.